Hello, my name is Cody Gunther from the University of Wisconsin River Falls. I worked for Winfield United this past summer and did a research project entitled "Do Specific Drift Minimizing Adjuvants Affect the Application Behavior of Dicamba Technology in a Large-Scale Trial?" So Dicamba technology, it's been around for a long time. Why is it being talked about now? Well, with the introduction of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans, there's an anticipation that these will increase in number of planted, of being planted, and a dicamba is going to be sprayed. So what is dicamba? It is a herbicide technology sprayed on broadleaf weeds in a field of broadleaves. It is a plant growth regulator. As of July 19th, 2017, there are over 1,400 confirmed cases of dicamba drift in the United States on soybean or cotton. When you sum that up, that's over 2.5 million acres injured by dicamba products, and this is brought to you by the University of Missouri Extension. And there have been three states that have placed implications on this technology that has been sprayed this year. So what does dicamba drift look like? In my experiment, I found two clear observations of dicamba drift. This first one is on soybeans. I'm going to use the mouse right there. You can see the drawstring effect on the soybeans and also on the tree leaves. This is what we're looking for when we're looking for symptomology of dicamba drift. So one way to avoid that drift is the buffer zone requirement. And so it's aimed to eliminate the off-target damage on non-target crops. What is a non-target crop? Well, non-DT soybeans, cotton, grapes, tomatoes, trees, many other grasses. So I have an animation here. So you have your dicamba application, you have wind, downwind, and you have your particle that was sprayed, your dicamba particle. It landed in the buffer zone. So that's what we're trying to avoid. Rather than hitting the sensitive crop, we're going to land in that buffer zone. That's what it's for. And there's a requirement to use a drift reduction agent, or DRA, to prevent drift from leaving buffer region. And I will talk about DRA in the next slide. So types of adjuvants, as I mentioned in my title, to reduce drift are drift reduction adjuvants, which are required to be in the spray tank when Roundup is present, and it reduces the number of fine droplets. And when I mean fine droplets, it's the ones that are going to drift in the wind. And in this experiment, I'm going to use OnTarget, or formerly known as 1698, as a DRA, versus a drift deposition aid, which is out there, and that's not legally obligated to include in the spray tank. And the examples I'm going to use are Interlaw and AccuDrop. So what is OnTarget, this DRA that's supposed to be in the tank? It was made by Winfield United. It improves the efficacy of dicamba by reducing driftable fines up to 50%, enhancing the droplet spreading, and enhancing canopy penetration. So once it gets on the leaf, it stays there. And once again, when it's with Roundup, it must be in the tank, with an application rate of 0.5% volume for volume. So this illustration I have here shows the percent of spray volume versus treatments. And so they used water, dicamba, and 1698, which is now on target, and dicamba. And you can see the number of fines have decreased with the spray volume when adding the on target to the tank. So the objectives of my experiments are: examine the use of drift reduction adjuvants and deposition agents to minimize the physical drift of Extendamax, or dicamba, when applied in a large sprayer. Also, examine the use of aerial imagery by a drone to detect differences in spray drift across treatments, and compare water-sensitive paper or spray cards from different treatments to show differences in drift at 25 feet from application, downwind. So the treatments that I'm going to talk about, when I refer to as a base package, it's 22 fluid ounces of Extendamax, 22 fluid ounces of Roundup Power Max, and Class Act Ridian. Well, Class Act Ridian is a water conditioner, and the reason we use that is because it contains no AMS or ammonium sulfate, and that is supposed to make dicamba volatilize. So the first treatment has no DRA added, it's just the base package. The second and third treatment are a quarter rate and a full rate of on target, with treatment three having an extra half rate of Interlock, which is a drift deposition agent. And you may ask, why would you use a quarter rate versus a full rate? Well, we're finding out with economics these days that farmers are trying to reduce the amount of product that they have to buy in order to do the same job. And that information I will not be presenting in this PowerPoint. Treatment 4 is a full rate of on-target with a half rate of AccuDrop, another deposition aid. Treatment 5 or 6 are experimental that I was not allowed to present on. And treatment 7 is a full rate of on-target. That's that DRA that's required in the tank. So how this was set up, materials and methods, we had a field with Liberty Link soybeans and an accidental field of ragweed along with it. It was not meant to be there, but it happened. And this does happen in growers' fields. And so we were trying to overcome this situation because we have seen this before. And so soybeans were planted on May 30th, and this application was done on July 12th. So they were about 6 weeks old. And so we took the treated area, if I can get the mouse to cooperate. We sprayed with this John Deere sprayer. We took the treated area and sprayed with the middle 40 feet of the boom and 125 feet long. And we sprayed these treatments. And then we left a 200-foot buffer strip downwind. And that's for evaluation of the dicamba drift that we used. We used the approved sprayer nozzles and GPA that are required on the label. And we had wind of 5 to 10 miles an hour. It varied between treatments, and we took wind calibrations at each one. The three ways I collected data were through ground truth, drone imagery, and water-sensitive cards. Although my title focuses directly on adjuvants, I wanted to see also what was the best way to determine this drift, because it's happening in growers' fields, and we want to see if there's an easier way than sending someone out every time. So with the ground truth, we measured the distance to the end of the downwind drift symptomology with 3 linear transects, 7 days after and 14 days after, and we took visual observations of injury downwind. And the picture I have here, down in the corner, you can see the brown area is where it was sprayed, and the green area was where we were measuring in that buffer zone. So we measured from the distance to the middle of the plot, the distance to the end of symptomology, to make sure that all of the treatments were, or the results were the same. We also used a drone imagery with fixed-wing drone. It flew 300 feet above the field and scanning for RGB and NDVI to see if we could find some differences. We also used water-sensitive cards, placed at 0, 3, 10, and 25 feet downwind. And those are the iron weeds that have the water-sensitive cards on it. So the ground truth evaluation, 7 days after treatment and 14 days after treatment, I have 2 graphs with distance traveled on the y-axis, and I have treatments on the x-axis. And as you can see, I really want you to pull out of this, treatment 1 was the no DRA, and that was statistically different on 7 days than the rest of the treatments that either had a DRA or a deposition aid in it. And in 14 days, you could really see it stick out. It traveled over 39 meters, which is about 120 feet, and if you do recall, the buffer for dicamba is 110 feet, so it traveled further than the legal buffer. So that was not good. And finally, I'm going to talk about the droplet sizes, and this is just a standard from Tom Wolf from a Canadian research center showing the droplet sizes. These are not the cards, this is just a standard. We're trying to avoid the very fine and fine because those are the ones that drift. We want to be at that coarse and very coarse. You can see here, as the droplet size decreases, the drift potential increases. And so these are the cards. Pull these up. You can see treatment 1 had no DRA. So this is at 25 feet, still in the buffer zone, but this is the furthest that we put the cards out. So no DRA. You can see some fines in there, which is not good. Treatment 7 has the full rate of on target, that legal DRA, and that has droplets, but they're bigger. The bigger droplets are not going to travel past that buffer zone because they will drop. And treatments 3 and 4 have the deposition aid along with the on target. So that has very few drops altogether. So that's the best package versus the treatment 7 and treatment 1. And so this is a large scale version of how this is laid out. And what I'm going to show you next is the 14 day NDVI image. So there's a lot going on here, and I have arrows at every treatment. But I really wanted to point out here with the legend saying that the blue is more health and the red being less health. And obviously with dicamba drift, you want more health, you want the blue. So blue is better. And you can see in treatment 1 that there's a large plume off to the corner there. There's a large plume of dicamba drift versus something like treatment 3, which has a lot of blue, means a lot of health. And that had the on target versus the deposition age. So conclusions, with no drift reduction agent, the physical drift went further than the legal buffer zone. That was an illegal action. By adding the DRA, the number of fines decreased. And also, I said I was comparing the data collection modes. So when I compared the drone imagery with the ground truth, treatment 3 looked the best on the NDVI, but the ground truth did not look the best. And dicamba can be applied in legal limits with a DRA or deposition age. Any questions? Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a technology guy.
Sure.
I think there's technology that can stop the drift by changing the way we spray and what's on the nozzles and detection and all that. What do you think the future of that is for this problem?
I think that could be a huge advantage. What I was looking at is just a way to examine it, but I think with adding that on the sprayer, you're contacting the problem firsthand. You know, as soon as it leaves the sprayer, it's being controlled. You know, I think that's an awesome technology, and I think that should be looked into, and it is being looked into. I think that is the future of drift control. Yeah.
So your presentation was on drift.
That was the one thing we were trying to avoid. We were trying to look at just strictly physical drift because of the information out there on volatilization. We know it can happen, but I don't think there's enough information on there to know in what conditions it can happen and when it can happen. And so when we looked at the 7 days versus the 14 days, we were just trying to examine the new tissue that got hit 14 days later, not if it picked up and moved. You know, I know that there's a gray line where someone could say, well, did it move further from 7 days to 14 days? I think we just saw the new tissue emerge with a symptomology at 14 days versus 7 days. But it is a consideration. I don't think there's enough data out there to know whether or not it happened or not. Yeah?
You talked a little bit about wind speed at the point of application. Mm-hmm.
We were trying to stay between 5 and 10 because growers around us, I mean, that's what a lot of growers go with. But that's just what it happened to be in the situation that we had to spray, so, which is within legal limits. So.
Okay.